All right, here we go. Give me count around, Joel.
3, 2, 1.
Who's the best show here?
That show!
Who's the best show here?
That show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
My fly is open.
Steve-O! Showtime!
You were making it from the oven in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
What the heck? There you go, lyric, dude.
What is going on?
It's like karaoke. Sit there down in the battle room, man.
I wonder what happened.
Far away.
What the heck happened?
That was sounded weird. Like karaoke, man.
Yeah, it was really weird. What? Yeah. Huh.
You got some kind of echo going on.
It's coming out of one side only, it sounds like.
Maybe.
I'm only hearing one channel.
Yeah, is this?
It's a thing to when that's back. If you don't like the cast,
here you go.
Wait.
It was a loose cable. That's what it was. A loose cable. Huh?
There you go.
Look at that.
You picked a fine time to leave me loose cable.
Oh. That's Kenny Rogers,
episode
isn't
what?
It?
Yeah.
So I was listening to the 60s station and on Sirius XM, and they've been quite, like, the past couple of months, they've been playing with some regularity Kenny Rogers' Ruby. And I was like, damn, that's a violent song. So you can probably watch the video on YouTube or hear the song. I don't know if there ever was a video. I doubt it, but. Anyway,
probably not.
Yeah, I don't doubt this was back in the 60s when it came out, so I don't think it was. Welcome to episode 841 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat
in full mono.
Yeah, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We got Manfry.
Hey, how's it going?
Flying Rich
at the Hughes Outpost Orlando Command.
And Joe. Whoa,
whoa. Hello.
Yeah. Just to clean a little thing up, I know last week we were shocked to learn that when I did upgrade to Fedora 31, it didn't actually upgrade to Fedora 31. This week I actually did upgrade to Fedora 31 and saw that it is at Fedora 31, so I don't know what happened the last time and how it was unbeknownst to me that it didn't actually do the upgrade, but it did it this time, and it went without a hitch. So kudos to that. Second time's a charm, and it's rocking so far. So good. And now I'm a couple weeks behind, maybe a couple months behind. I think Fedora 31 was released around the time of the latest Ubuntu. 1910, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I think so. So, I gotta say, preference wise, I really like Pac-Man more than all the other ones. I don't know why. I do Pac-Man on Arch. That's my preferred one. And then Apt. I don't know, Apt's really good. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say about Fedora 31. Joel, I think you wanted to bring something up, right?
Yeah. I upgraded the hot end on my printer from the standard Creality. Basically, you're talking about everything from the heat block up to where the Bowden tube goes in. So there's a Heat Break, and instead of the original Creality hot end, the Bowden tube would go all the way into the hot end and almost right, basically right above the nozzle. So it would actually go into the heat zone, into where the plastic would melt. Part of the problem with that, with their original design, is
Joel, yes, sir. Filament, because they may think the plastic is part of the device.
No, no, this is the Bowden tube. The filament does go into that, but yes, the what I'm talking about now is the Bowden tube. It goes all the way down into the heat block, which is where the filament melts. Correct. So. But what would happen is there would always be, no matter how hard I try, there's all sorts of fixes that you can print and try, and I've tried those. Those didn't work. So I've been, usually what I did before I bought this new hot end was I would leave the nozzle off and then push the Bowden tube until it emerged from the end of the block, and then pulled it back up just a little bit, and then screw the nozzle into the heat block. All right. But what would happen though, as time would go on, is there'd be a little gap between the top of the nozzle and the Bowden tube, and so what would happen is as you were printing, plastic would ooze around the bottom of that tube and you get a clog. Okay. With the all metal hot end, basically everything from the nozzle to the heat block to the titanium heat break that it comes with, and then the cool section that's right above that, which is like a heat sink above that the filament goes through before it hits the hot end. All that is metal, and there's no PTFE tube that goes all the way through to the nozzle anymore. So basically, the PTFE tube just goes right into the top of that cooling the heat sink there, and that's it. So it's a straight shot from there to the heat block, and you get several advantages with this one. The kit came with a hardened steel nozzle on it, so it's going to last a lot longer when using abrasive filaments like the glow-in-the-dark filaments, and you can buy filaments with carbon fiber in it. Haven't bought any of that yet, but that should be better than the standard brass nozzles that it usually comes with. And then I can also print at higher temperatures. So that would be between 230 and 240 degrees centigrade. So
that opens you up to more materials, right?
Absolutely. It absolutely does. So although if I were to go and do that, probably the next stage I would do before I want to print at the higher temps would probably be to build an enclosure of some sort so that I would cut down a draft, because like certain things like ABS and all that can be real sensitive to just random breezes in your room and cause the model to shrink a little bit more and thus warp and crack and stuff like that. So it's open up. That's not really the reason I bought it, is because it's more or less, it's a lot less complicated path for the filament to go through. And ever since I put this on the other day, haven't been printing a lot. I haven't been printing long ones. I've been actually tuning it, printing little calibration blocks here and there. I think I got the final tweak I want to do into it before I go to print the next big thing, which I probably won't print till the weekend. Adjusting the Z offset. My Z offset was much too close to the bed, and I think I got it dialed in pretty good right now. So I printed off a couple of kind of to test it. I kind of printed off some I'm thinking versus a model for basically corners for the standard IKEA lac shelf.
I don't really think it protects you better, like if you bump your head into the corner of that shelf. But it does make change the look of it. So it kind of looks nice. So I post the picture up on Facebook. Haven't done that over MeWe yet. But so ever since I put that on, I've had the extrusion's been really good. No problems with under extrusion. It's also been consistent. So wavy lines. I've printed off some of the best calibration blocks I've ever printed on this since I've moved to the new hot end. I did have to make some tweaks. The MicroSwiss one likes a lot less retraction than the standard one. I can get away with only 4 millimeters retraction. And why that is important is that's how you – the retraction is how you control the stringing because for every time you switch a layer, it's gonna, you're going to want to have the machine pull the filament back in a little bit so that the plastic doesn't dribble out of it as it's moving it along. So there's a retraction that they put into the G code that it pulls the filament back, the machine moves it, and then it starts going again. So the all metal hot end doesn't need as much retraction as the stock. And the other thing I had to do is I had to increase my temperature by about 5 degrees. So once I did that, smooth sailing. So I also made a tweak to the NG code where I have it pull the filament back 4 millimeters instead of the standard ending G code for the CR10 Mini was it would pull it back 2 millimeters. Now I pull it back 4. So that's kind of got that from YouTube. Several videos on YouTube suggested doing that because there's been, if you look on you on, like, for example, if you look on Amazon on the reviews for the MicroSwiss hot end for the Creality printers, there's a lot of reviews that will say that they're having a bad time with it, they're getting a lot of jams and stuff like that. I haven't had one, so and it's thanks to quite a few little videos I saw on YouTube to fix that. I think the next upgrade I may look at is, I believe the name of the company is Winsun, I think, and basically it is a change up to the extruder. The standard extruder has a kind of like a wheel on one side and then a grub like a gear on the other, which would actually pull the filament in, you know, into the printer. There is another one out there where the main gear has a gear on top that connects to another gear. So instead of the wheel, the freewheeling wheel on the other side, you essentially have two it's almost like having a dual gears, one gear on each side of the filament that would pull it in. But technically it's only one that's actually moving, but the other one is connected with a gear. It's kind of an interesting upgrade. I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. It's cheap.
It's probably good bucks. For TPU.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be, although I've ran TPU through this and not had a problem. The key with TPU is don't do the 50 millimeter per second standard. Go slower, go around. I've gone around 30. A lot of people will tell you no retraction with TPU. I'll probably run the same retraction I've been running on PLA with it now, because the way it was before, I ran about 4 or 5 millimeter on TPU and then about 6 or 7 on PLA. But I think I'll just run the same now. The temperature will be a little higher on the TPU. But I've been getting good prints on TPU lately. It's the Winsun, Winsinn, dual gear extruder.
How much did that run you?
The hot end was $63.
Okay. How much was the printer originally?
About 300.
And so how many parts have you replaced on it now?
Not counting a Bowden tube, really just that hot end and the, I put a metal extruder on it to replace the plastic one. The hot end itself was 63. That extruder was $15.
So what are you going to replace next?
The whole thing?
No, I'm just the curious. Operator. My question is, I guess that's my question. I mean, at what point would you just replace it and get a new one? Or is this something like you could just keep upgrading parts and get a better one, you know, and so eventually you'll end up with something
part of the beauty of 3D printing is the and RepRap to begin with is being able to upgrade the parts. There's only so far we'll go on this. What'd you say?
Also that it's incestuous.
Because basically you can print new parts. In fact, I actually, you know what? I just thought of something. I probably need to print a new. I printed a like a knob that goes on top of the Z screw, so that I can use that to turn it instead of putting my fingers on the greasy screw. You know. So the one I have on there, it comes loose every once in a while. So I might print another one of those. Because I do use that a lot of times like if I'm working on it like say putting a new nozzle on it or something, I'll grab that knob and move the print head up so they have more room to work on it. But
so Dan, to answer your question, one of the typical things that people upgrade is the hot end on a 3D printer.
Yep.
Then they may add something like auto bed leveling, so you add a sensor on that.
That's something I might do yet too.
I'm using Octoprint, which you have a Raspberry Pi and you have a camera on it, and then the Octoprint controls the printer as opposed to having it plugged into a computer or doing like SneakerNet with the micro SD card and plugging it into the control board. So that's kind of cool because now you can remotely control it. I have a filament sensor that's hooked up to the Raspberry Pi. And then I can add features onto it that aren't native to the actual control board. Yep. So, yeah, there's a lot of neat little tweaks you can do. I guess the CR10 is a good printer from the get-go. So the framing and all of that works really nice. I've been thinking about upgrading, you know, I've got the Anet A8, which is probably the cheapest, decent-sized printer. Like, Joel has a smaller printer. I forget which one you got.
I have a knockoff of the Wanhao i3 Mini.
So
that was my first one.
The Anet is a little bit bigger than the Prusa. And then there's different things about the beds. So, the next thing is, hey, Prusa has a magnetic bed that's a coated metal, so you just slide that off the magnetic metal bed off and then twist it and boom, your part flips off.
Yep.
Because what at least I'm doing, and I haven't printed in like a year, is you have tape down and then you put glue stick down and then you level the bed each time because I don't have the bed leveler wired in. And so there's a lot of things that make it easier that, you know, don't come stock. The cool thing is, fine, for me, what was it, like $175 to get into it? And then you can start adding on to it. You can buy a Prusa for, what is the Prusa kit, like $400?
Oh, no, it's, well, I so thought it was
pre-assembled and tested, and then there's the kit.
Right.
So the Prusa kit, which is, you know, basically what the Anet A8 is a clone of. There's a Prusa Mark IV, and I'd have to look that up in a second.
The Mark IV is out? I thought only Mark III was out.
Or is it the Mark III Plus or something?
Something like that.
So when you talk about doing that, it almost sounds like crafting in a video game. So I'm curious, can you You get like your low end base printer there, and
Mark
then you can like upgrade a part, and then you can print your own better parts, and then you put those on there, and then you upgrade another part, which would allow you to print even better parts. So theoretically, you could just like, you'd have to buy like a piece and then you upgrade those components and it's like, well, works really well. And then you upgrade another piece.
I would say the Prusa, now up until like I know the first few versions of the Prusa, a lot of parts were 3D printed.
Actually, I know most of the Prusas 3D printed on another Prusa.
Right. Right. I think they have gone to some injection mold parts now too. But now the Prusa i3 Mark 3S is $749 for the kit, 1,000 pre-assembled.
I think it's expensive. Like $400.
No, well, maybe you're thinking of the Prusa Mini, which is $349 for the kit. Or you can get the i3 Mark 3 Multi-Material 2S. I don't know if that's the multi-material add-on. I think it's the multi-material add-on. It's another $300. I still kind of want a Prusa, but I'm real happy. I'm firmly in the Creality camp. They're the same ones. The Creality and Ender 3 are synonymous for me because, you know, basically, to me, the only difference between a CR10 and an Ender 3 is, I mean, there are more differences, but the biggest difference is that the Creality ones are, for the most part, mostly assembled. The Ender 3 is basically a box of parts, just like the A-Net. But you have minimal assembly with the Creality ones.
The Creality is 30 minutes and you're running, whereas the A-Net, it's like 8 hours of assembly.
Yes. So, but my next actual FDM that I would like is the CR10 V2, which they have added the runout sensor. They have the ABL on it, the ABL mesh leveling. So you don't have and that's the important part too. When you have the ABL kit, I think it's ABL on that one. I'm not 100% sure. But either there's ABL and there, what's the other kind? I'm trying to remember the other one.
Well, there's, you know, different sensors. So there's like a switch, right, you know, where it's a touch sensor, right, and then a proximity sensor.
One actually touches the bed when it's doing taking the measurements for the leveling. The other one uses a magnetic sensor. So I think ABL is the magnetic sensor. But I may be wrong. But I don't have it on my – I'm all manual on my CR10 Mini. The V2, the nice thing they did with the V2, and it is a little bit pricier, but it already has a lot of the things that you would add on to any CR10-based printer. But they have also brought out a direct drive kit to it. So you can go from the Bowden setup to having a direct drive where you have the extruder right on top of the hot end. So it's those ones typically will print the flexible filaments like TPU and NinjaFlex a whole lot easier than a Bowden-based system. I think that's the latest greatest from Creality, the CR10 version 2. Creality also has an SLA printer, a resin printer, so I'm kind of interested in that too. The only thing is the resin printers are going to be a lot smaller build surface than pretty much any FDM. But you got a lot more detail on a resin printer as well and a lot less layer lines. So there's pluses and minuses to all of it. But if I stick with FDM, one of these days, we were talking about doing some work downstairs, and one of the things I'm thinking of doing is talking to the wife, see if we can't have them install the same type of cabinets that you install in the kitchen, but install it downstairs with a small countertop on it, and then make the top set of cabinets fully enclosed. So basically make a really nice place for me to put the printers. That way the printer can be out of the office and I can have them running a lot more often than I do. But, you know, granted, it would all depend on, you know, if I'm actually, like, one of these days, I thought, would it be worth me starting a business printing stuff for people?
Doubt it.
Yeah, doubt it. That's kind of where I'm at with that, too.
If you think about how long it takes to print something, let's just say you might spend a couple hours, and then how many times is it going to be bad? So
yeah, true.
What we're talking about here, so here's the problem about commercially 3D printing. One is the time. So the next question is, how many printers can you have running? Because then you can produce more stuff. Because basically, you have near zero cost on an item. Because to print a vase probably costs a dollar worth of material. And the electricity is negligible. Your 3D printer, once the bed is done warming, once you're done with the first layer or the first several layers, you can turn the bed off. So you're using less power than a 60-watt bulb. So... all right, an AR-15 lower took 72 hours to print, and that's with PETG, and the filament cost is, like, it's a third of a spool, so let's just say it's $3, and I might have used 25 cents worth of electric. So the problem is when there's flaws introduced into it. So if you're going to be doing a print that takes 72 hours and you have a flaw two-thirds of the way into it, you're screwed. You know, you're just...
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So there's a lot of problems with that model. There's also like a network of people doing 3D printing, you know, decentralized network of people, kind of like Uber. There's an Uber of the 3D printing world. I forget what it's called.
Right.
But...
Go ahead, Joe.
Jump in.
You see a lot of people on eBay not necessarily offering the service of 3D printing something, but they're offering specific 3D prints. So they know that those 3D prints are good. They're usually smaller items. They can print 10 of them at a time. But I don't really think they make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's the thing, you know. For me, it's more like for Christmas, I made ornaments for my whole work team. And I give them to them as Christmas gifts when we had our meeting in Lake Mary. So things like that.
I didn't get an ornament.
I didn't know you wanted something with a hippo and a Felician logo on it.
Something to remember you by, Joel.
But yeah,
like, you know, a locket with your picture in it I could wear around my neck.
Make you a lithophane of a Jolie. I'm with you. Plus, and there also lies the other issues, the legal issues too. Like, for example, I know probably the most common thing that I'll see is, you know, and people will ask me about that because they know I have one. So they'll ask me, hey, there's this thing on Thingiverse. Can you print it for me? And I'll pay you. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I just print it for them anyway. Because I don't own the design. Okay, so if I open an Etsy store or something selling that, then I could be liable. Basically, I'm stealing that right. person's work. You know, so that's legally not mine. I mean, they provide it on Thingiverse for free for me to print out for my use. Okay? They don't mind that I do that. In fact, a lot of times they want you to print, post a make in Thingiverse. Okay? Which sometimes I do that, sometimes I don't. I'd say most times I don't. But... So then there is, how good am I at designing things in 3D? I'm okay for the little things that I do, okay? Like, I can design a hook. Like, I designed a hook that I have 3D printed, and it's hanging over my office door holding a couple jackets on it, okay? That worked great.
Pat, speaking of hooks, somebody designed a drop-in auto sear that you can 3D print. So basically, you can make your AR-15 into a machine gun by printing this thing smaller than your pinky on a 3D printer.
Nice. But Yeah, so little things like I designed the brackets. I bought a pre-made like shelf over at Lowe's, the kind that you would normally buy the brackets for. But I didn't buy the brackets. I printed the brackets, and it's basically like a shelf holding my monitor and my Amazon Echo Show. All right. So little things like that, I'm okay at doing. Now, would I print some of that and give it and sell that to someone as my own design? No, because I'm not happy with some of the stuff that I've done for myself. You know, it works. It looks okay to me, but I see all the little nits and all the things I could have done better. You know what I mean, Rich? You know?
Yeah, I hate to say it, I'm so far removed from 3D printing, it's awful. I've got it on my desk, I just haven't gotten to... Realistically, I changed some parts on it, I need to do a bed level on it and do a couple of...
Well, you're never home, either.
Well, that's also the other thing, you know, the honey-do list. So, I've been trying to change my oil since October, and I finally did it, you know, over the weekend.
But that's why, you know, it's like, and then things like I know there's a huge contingent of people that love Octoprint. Other than monitoring my print from other places in the house, that's the only thing I ever used it for. I never sent anything to it, you know.
Oh, really? No, Octoprint's the shit. I mean, that.
Oh, I'm not disputing that. Yeah, I'm not disputing that. Yeah.
You can even have Octoprint do the slicing for you. So, and again, I haven't played with this stuff in a long time. But everything's gotten better. The software's gotten better. What slicer are you using, Joel?
I'm using Cura 4.4. So that's the other thing is Cura. I also found Octoprint lagged Cura in what it can do when producing the G-code. Because I think what's the engine in Octoprint now? It's Cura, but it's a few versions back, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me roll back. I meant to say this. Prusa, everything I believe they do is on GitHub. So
correct.
You don't have to fork over the dollars to them. Everything is open sourced on GitHub, which is crazy.
It's all phenomenal. And I'm hoping to get to see Prusa at the Midwest RepRap Festival here. Gosh, is it next month already? Jeez. No, it's not. It's not till
March.
I know
it's when it's cold.
Yeah. It's in March in Indiana, of all places. So, you know, hey. But that's where they had, I think it was last year where they filmed the White Knight printer, which is a... I think it has the y-axis is unlimited, if I remember right. Basically, it's a 3D printer with a treadmill for a build service, essentially. So it prints one object, then basically spits it off one end, and then starts printing the next object, and the next object, and the next object, until your spill's empty. And the nice thing about the White Knight is it is completely open. You can actually build all the 3D. You can 3D print a lot of the components, and then like the expensive parts like the X and Y rods, and if there is X rods and the Z, those you'd have to go buy. And a hot end, you'd have to buy the electronics for it too. But the rest of it, like a lot of the brackets and stuff that you would need to put it together, you can all 3D print. And that is on Thingiverse. But other things like that, I'm excited. Yeah, somebody trying to remember, it was over on MeWe. It was trying to caution me how it's like, I know exactly what it's like. It's on a 4-H hall. It's not a nice, OLF, you know, it's not in a nice convention center. It's in essentially a farm building.
A dirty barn stall.
Yeah. Well, it's, I don't think it's dirty, but you know what I mean. Yeah. So it's actually quite a bit like the other show I'm going to go to in May, the Dayton Hamvention. It's also at a county fairground, so it's not the, yeah, the facilities are not luxurious or anything, and gosh, there's nothing in Goshen, Indiana. I mean, I think the closest larger town is Elkhart, you know. But there's a hotel there, good enough for me to stay for a few days. So it's only Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Tox has a comment, and he uses Octoprint to turn the LED lights on an exhaust fan.
Right.
Connects to Home Assistant, turns a 433 megahertz plug on to turn on and off the printer. So he shuts everything down with Home Assistant when it's done, which is cool. And
K-Wisher, that's who it was.
I had Home Assistant running Haspbian, which is running on top of Armbian. The new Home Assistant is running HasIO, which is running in a Docker container, so you don't have access to the pins on the hardware. So what I did is I've got a Sonoff RF bridge, and I flashed it with the Tasmota software. So now I do MQTT, and I can turn on and off 433 megahertz devices again, which nice. I have a couple of them in the house. So it's nice to have control of that stuff again.
You know, and I just thought about just a minute ago when you guys were hearing the whistly snot rocket, which was my 3D printer that was on idle behind me. It would have been nice to have another one of those Wi-Fi power strips like I got in my bedroom. I might pick one up just for that. But home automation stuff, I actually picked some of that stuff up too this weekend. Dan, I bought some of those Mercury or crap. I'm trying to remember the brand.
The Lutron Auroras?
No, I bought some new bulbs. They were at Walmart in a 2-pack for $20. Different system. These are Wi-Fi, Mercury, I think. But they were like $20 a piece, and the neat thing about them is they're like the Hue ones. They got the adjustable colors and everything.
They're LEDs, right?
Correct.
And they'll last forever, right?
I'm defined forever. You know, if they last 10 years, I'll be happy.
Well, I mean, because, like, I guess the whole thing of you get a light that connects to your Wi-Fi for home automation, you want to make sure that you get some use before that light burns out.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Like, yeah, I get that. It's not an incandescent bulb, and you kind of always, incandescent right. bulb could last 5 years, it could last 5 minutes.
Right.
You know, no, last thing you don't want to do is put in one of those things, and 5 minutes later, it's dead.
Yeah. Mercury Innovations A21 Smart Light Bulb, available at Walmart for $20 a piece, 1988, for a 2-pack. The only thing I don't like about them is they are a little bit bigger than my Lightify bulbs, so I could not put one in my... I 3D printed a lamp that I designed completely. Kind of looks a little bit like a warp core almost. Honestly, it's kind of what I was going for with the design. But the shade that's also 3D printed was just a little bit too narrow to fit the Mercury Innovation bulbs. But
time to print another one.
That was a long print because that's one big, it's what, about a foot high and all 3D printed and big enough around to put one of the A21 bulbs in it, the Lightify ones. So that was a big print. But I'll post a picture of that on the MeWe. But, so what I did do is one of the bulb I replaced in one of my bulbs in my office is one of the colored ones, and other colored one I got, I put out in the living room. And then I have the one that, one of the Lightify bulbs I had had the adjustable, not color, but temperature. So you can change it from like a white, bluish white to a yellowish white. You know, so you have warmer colors, when you're trying to calm down for the day or whatever. Anyway, that's the one I got facing me. And that actually, I noticed too when I pulled one of those out of that, and those were some of these were the ones that were going off on their own, Dan. And the one that was in that shade actually had a crack in the base of it. In the plastic base on the side of it. So I think it might have been an overheat. But anyway, yeah, I mean, generally they're cool. I mean, I've not ever had, most LED light bulbs I can grab. Like, if you try to grab an incandescent bulb that's just been on or that you just turned off or that's still on, you're going to burn your fingers. Do you
think that's a lesson they're going to have to teach in school to our kids, that they don't know light bulbs are hot or used to be hot?
That's a good question, actually. But yeah, the LED bulbs, I generally can just change them. They can still be on and I'll unscrew them. I don't care.
There's also this thing called a pot holder, and it's not for pot.
Mm-hmm. But, inadvertently, when I got those bulbs, I started playing around with the scenes and scheduling stuff in the Google Assistant, and I'm actually pretty happy with those.
Yeah, I've done a lot with those.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually better than using the scheduling app that's built into the apps for the lights themselves, you know, because the nice thing is like, I have one scene. And I have two different brands of light bulbs, one Lightify and one Mercury, in the living room. And I can put both brands in the same scene and have them do something at the same time. So, like, I can tell it to go into night mode, and what it'll do is it'll shut in the living room. I have it set to, pretty much the same thing in my office. I'll have it shut the Lightify bulb off completely and turn on the Mercury bulb on red, which is easier on your eyes.
So, one of the things when we're talking home automation that I'm a little unhappy with, and the phrase that always comes up is, if you don't have root, you don't own it. Under Armour just killed off some of their smart product lines and left, you know, you buy this expensive smart scale. And
Under Armour? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Under
okay.
Armour, believe it or not. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Under Armour with the smart homes? Okay.
Well, yeah, they have this smart stuff. And, you know, so here's one of the things. Either you have to have root on it, which most of the crap you don't. Or it has to be so widely supported that it's just not going to tank
profitable. Right, like I think my light bulbs, the Lightify ones, I think are actually Zigbee. So technically, I can actually make those work with another hub. I'll say this though: the Mercury ones, the $20 ones, those are Wi-Fi, so they work without a hub, which is kind of nice. Any of the hub based ones, like the Philips Hue, my Lightify ones, those ones, you know, if Philips decides, hey, we're done with you, if the bulbs don't support something else, like a standard Zigbee, you're kind of screwed. But I don't think Philips is going to kill Hue anytime soon, but if it happens, it happens. So,
right.
I mean,
well, with Home Assistant, you can emulate a Hue Bridge, which is kind of cool. That's why I like the Tasmoto, because I just, you know, did a Tasmoto hack this weekend for 433 megahertz, which is real nice. Now I have a device that can control my RF switches around the house.
Okay.
And, you know, I just dropped them in. It's the same scheduler. It just sends an MQTT packet to the Sonoff bridge. that has Tasmota running on it. And it just activates the device. So pretty darn happy about that. Oh, and it has a learn feature also. So you can learn the button pushes for the different device.
Which is useful.
All right, guys, I'm going to bail. Have a good
show. He's got a mini PC. But yeah, I mean, that is the danger with all this, especially all the smart home stuff. You know, at some point in the distant future, I assume that they will kill the home hub I have. And then I have to either go buy a new one, which I probably will be ready to do that anyway, you know, because they're making improvements to them all the time. Especially, like, for example, I'm really kind of fighting the urge to go buy the Nest Home Hub Max, I think, the bigger screen one, because that would look a lot nicer in my kitchen than the little one. But but I'm happy with what I have, so you know, I'm not doing it right now. So I'd actually be happier if they designed a thinner one that you could just mount it on the wall, right, Dan?
Talking to me at Manfry.
Manfry, actually.
What's on the wall? What's hanging on the wall?
Put like the Google Home Hub things on the wall.
Oh yeah.
Just a screen, no speaker. You know, that would be awesome. Or thin, small speakers, just enough to interact with it. You know. Maybe that's coming. I don't know. Anyway, so no interesting stories with the home, Manfry?
What, the new house in general, you mean?
Yes.
My no water stories didn't fill you in enough last week?
Since last week, have there been any new ordeals?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to
know. No, there have not. We're a whole 2 weeks without any water issues right now.
Terrific.
Yeah, so far everything's been really good since then.
His family's living like it's just like a he's out in hotels, and there's a they have a one of those garbage cans out back where they're throwing paper and old books in to keep warm, and they're like, oh, is that how it is, Manfry?
You know it.
Oh wait, where's your house again? That's out in what's the road it's off of?
Blue Church in Coopersburg.
Yes, okay. I remember looking where it was.
Okay.
That's such a nice area out there.
It really is.
You probably have a lot more room in the house too.
Hell yeah, we do.
How big is your yard?
I'm just shy of an acre.
What are you gonna do on that?
Well, it's somewhat like sloped, so there's not going to be a whole heck of a lot that I can do in certain areas of it. However, I ordered a bunch of like heirloom seeds from this seed company that I'm going to put
in.
I got to level it out though before I do, because a lot of it is just because they put the septic system in. It was all dug up. It's all clay, so I have to get some topsoil brought in and level it all out where I can. And then I'm actually thinking of building a chicken coop too out there, but I got the big ass garage, right? I'm gonna put a workshop in there, and I'm gonna
put a
gym in there and make it like an entertaining area as well, like that extends. So this way we could have like, you know, I don't know, maybe I'll put up like a, you know, it's the fall time, put up a TV, set a fire out there, you know, you can watch, you know, a football game or whatever it is, you know.
TV? Yeah. Heck, just get a screen.
Well, that too. I mean, I need to put an area to put my grills and my smokers and stuff like that. And there is a trellis with some kind of vine that it's a real thick, like kind of supposed to, it starts with a W, I think I've been told. But it grows up through like the trellis that's there. So, but that the trellis is looking a little like it's starting to push through, like separate boards and stuff like that. So when the vine went through it, so I might have to take that down and redo something like that there as well.
Mm-hmm. Get you a shopsmith for that garage, man. Some woodworking stuff.
Oh, I'm collecting. All my stuff has been kind of distributed between like my dad and my brother. So now I'm in the process of collecting it all back.
There you go. I know. I don't really have enough room to do it here on my property, and technically the covenant and restrictions prevent that. But what I would love to do is build like a fully equipped room outside the house, like a little outhouse, so to speak, that has a electric and a heating and cooling, and then move my office out there, so that I can be away from the family, a little bit more quieter thing. It's not that it's bad in the house. It's just that I'd love to kind of have my own space that was bigger than where I'm at now. So, but not really the room here. You know, if we ever moved, that's probably one of the things I would look for, is a fairly large room that could be my home office. But right now, this room ain't it. I'm in here, but I got stuff all around me, and I kind of want to fix that. Some of it is I can get rid of it. Some of it, though, is I just don't have enough room in here to support all my hobbies. Like, I'd love to have the ham radio hooked up all the time, too. That's also something I don't have in here. Other than my handheld, so I can just pick up. But that's nice. That's nice you got that space out there. I would definitely do something like that. Heck, you're going to start homebrewing, I bet you.
I don't drink beer anymore, so probably not.
Oh, well, okay.
Can't fight a thing for anything. He don't drink, he don't smoke. What does he do?
At least he still eats meat.
That's about all I do is eat meat.
He's not one of those vegans.
Is your yard fenced in at all?
No, it's not, and it's an issue now with the dog and whatnot. She's been pretty good about, you know, listening to us about not going beyond like even like a perimeter, like around the house, that's not the entire yard. The other morning when I was getting ready to leave to come here, to come to Boston, I had her out. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning. Something was dying across the street and then like in the wooded area. I don't know if it got hit by a car, but it was just making this like grunting, you know, like this high pitched squeal, like pain. Like it was like something was in pain.
Coyote.
I don't know if it was a deer that got clipped or something like that, you know, and it just hadn't died, but it was, I mean, she went running off after it, and I had to stop her to get her back, you know, but luckily she never even went across, because Blue Church can be kind of like a little bit more of a busier road. But so luckily she came back, and it was, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. So nobody was, you know, not too many people were out on the road, but you know, the problem we have right now though, is like, there's a lot of deer that, you know, end up running through the yard. I haven't seen any yet, but I find piles of shit all over the place. So, and I know the difference between deer shit and dog shit, right? So, it's definitely, you know, an issue, because she goes out there and then starts wanting to eat it. So, not roll around in it, which I guess that could be worse, because then she'd have to come in and be bathed every time, right? But
maybe get one of those fenceless systems. That way,
I'm definitely gonna put in an underground fence, and I'm thinking of putting like a somewhat of a tree line along the roadway there, and then maybe like a wooden fence, it's not like, you know, completely like slatted the whole way. It's just open, you know.
Man, Fry, yep. Deer aren't walking through your yard. They're hanging out in there.
Yeah, there's so many houses like that around me that have like these big like acre yards, you know, that they're just all over the place over there. You go up the hill a little bit, there's just empty fields, like cornfields right now and stuff like that. And you just look out on some nights and see, you know, 50, 100 of them out there.
Now, do you have, is it all like open grass, or do you have like woods on your
No, it's all there's one big willow tree out in front. There's like five pine trees that they planted, but these are ones that I think we're going to try to relocate. I don't want to get rid of them, but my wife doesn't want them like in front of the house the way they are, so I think we're going to maybe start those as be like the tree line down below. If they can be moved. I got my old neighbor at the other place, he has like a landscaping company, so I'm going to see if I can't get him to come and tell me what I can do with them. But for the most part, it is pretty well open. Like, aside for that big garage, behind it, you know, there's a tree line that separates like me and the neighbor that's behind us. To the side of us, there's a neighbor. But they're like, there's like a, they, whoever, I don't know if the prior owner did this or what, but there's like a brick wall that's there that kind of separates us, you know, our driveway and their, you know, part of their yard there that leads up to their house.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy with it so far. I know we've had the water issues, but really that's the only thing that we've had. And honestly, it hasn't been that big of an issue with my dad being a plumber and stuff like that. So.
Yep. Yeah, it reminds me of the time, I forget what age Luke was, but my laundry room, the inside the laundry room is unfinished, you know, the bare studs in there. Right across, like right in front of the where the washer and dryer sits, there's a cold water pipe, okay, that goes in towards where the downstairs bathroom is. My son, I don't know what he was doing, but he grabbed that pipe and it snapped. And I had to quickly come and turn off the water. And luckily, at that time, my neighbor was a plumber. And I said, I need some help. Can you do this real quick for me? I'll pay you. And he's like, don't worry about paying me. I'll fix it for you. I'm like, okay, because it took him all of 15 minutes. You know? But it's like water everywhere. You know, I'm like, that was one water mishap I had. Then there was a time where when Luke was also little, he flushed a Hot Wheel in the hall bath. And he comes running out of the bathroom going, big water, daddy, big water. I'm like, what? I'm like, I go in there and try and plunge the sucker. I'm like, I could not get the thing unclogged. And I'm like, what did you do? You know, so eventually I got the shop vac up. I turned the water off the toilet, sucked the water out, lifted the toilet up, and there was a Hot Wheel jammed up in the toilet. I'm like, I do not miss that time. I do not miss that time. And it's going to be years before I have a grandchild, so. If ever.
Well, you never know. It could be next week, Joel.
Hey, he's gonna go solo. Surprise. He's going to solo to school on Friday. The first few days, because his disability. My wife has been going down there just to kind of hang out and make sure he was okay at class and stuff. But he's been going to class itself by himself, and I think Friday he's gonna go by himself. So, but him going to college has been an interesting experience so far. But I'm hoping that once he starts going down there by himself, taking care of, you know, going to class by himself and all that, and not having mom mere minutes away, maybe he'll start to mature a little bit and get some friends. Friends is important. You have no friends, you could end up being like my aunt.
Ay, ay, ay.
But when your dad passed, is that kind of how what happened with him? That somebody found him there too?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, it wasn't surprising when they found them, you know what I mean? It was like, right. Wow, which day is it going to be? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, who's it going to be and what day and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like my aunt, My aunt.
Well, you know what? I guess different than your aunt though is.
Right.
They found like it was like a couple hours later, if that.
Okay.
I think like.
In my aunt's case, we don't know. It could have been 2 days before. There was a fill of, since I hadn't shared it on the recording there, my aunt passed away, I'm guessing, sometime last week. But my cousin, her son, got a call from the police department. Her neighbors were concerned. They hadn't seen her in a couple days. So they called the police. The police went and did a welfare check, got in, and they found her. Unfortunately, she had died. So, I'd like to say it was expected, but no. Although, judging by the same thing we had, like I talked about it on the show here, where a couple years ago, where people were trying to get a hold of her, and then finally we did. And similar when my mom passed, but we were finally able to get a hold of her. When my mom passed, she couldn't come, but. That was back in 2015 when it happened, but unfortunately that happened, and they're not having a funeral, so I'm actually kind of mad about that, that he won't do that, but oh well. You know, I know how she was. She wasn't the most well, she was friendly, but she just never really had friends past a certain point in her life. So I don't know whether it's because too many people screwed her or what. But he would my cousin would call up and say, "Hey, we're having Christmas dinner. You want to come? I can come pick you up or do something." And she's like, "No, I'm not gonna come." So that's just kind of how she kind of pushed people away. So I'm telling this to everyone on the show and the fans listening, don't take family for granted, because one day they're not going to be there.
Absolutely. I tell my wife, say that to my wife all the time. I'm like, we should go visit your mom. We should go visit your dad, because one day you're not going to be able to, and it sucks.
It does suck. Yeah, so I'm planning a trip out to Pennsylvania to go see my other aunt that lives. She lives in Harrisburg.
Harrisburg.
Yeah. It's close enough to Hershey. It gives me another reason to go.
I was gonna say you can hit Hershey. That's not too far away.
That's actually probably gonna be the ultimate goal.
Oh, you're right next to Man Fry, right? Man Fry. When you're out there in Hershey, it's just like here in D.C.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
another two hours east of you there, sure.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what I'll do. Plus, I just looked and I noticed there's stuff in Hershey that I've never seen before. Like, there's a museum down on Chocolate Avenue that I've never seen before.
So, I cannot go back into that town anymore because they pump the chocolate smell in all over the place. I'm allergic to chocolate. So it actually triggers a reaction, like in my face and in whatnot, so that like my face goes numb. It's the weirdest thing. My lips, my cheeks,
really?
My nose, everything goes numb when I smell or have, like, I haven't had chocolate in years because of this.
I don't know if they pump it or it's just the fact that they
make any chocolate there anymore. It's all done in like Mexico or something like that. But they pump the smell in. Like in and around the city, like with like where like the chocolate factory is and whatnot, but it's just there, it's just present, like and I can't be around it.
That's the strangest thing in the world. Because chocolate is delicious.
Are any of your kids allergic to chocolate?
No. No. It's and it didn't happen to me. It didn't start happening to me until about 2012.
Weird.
And it might have always been there. I never was a big chocolate fan, and I always like kind of felt, I guess now that I think about it, felt a little weird, you know, when I would eat it, you know. But I never was a big, never eat a lot of chocolate like at any given point in time, and it just started noticing it happening, and then after that, it was just chocolate. Anytime there was chocolate around, it just triggered this reaction.
Well, according to their website, Dan, they actually still do make chocolate in Hershey.
Well, so. The mass produce, you know, mass production of it is not there anymore. As far as I'm aware, that's been all moved to Mexico.
So the West Hershey plant opened in 2012 and produces more than 70 million Hershey Kisses milk chocolates a day. I know it's not the best chocolate in the world, but it's our chocolate.
Well, you know, they have plants all over the place, man. Mexico probably hugely produces tons of stuff. Just Born Candies, they're only in
Easton.
Bethlehem, right?
Yeah.
They don't have plants outside of there.
I have a former coworker who has worked there now, I think, since we all left that other company. So.
Mm-hmm. And then and with most of Just Born stuff, especially the Peeps, you either like them or you don't. There's no middle road on those.
How could you not like Peeps, man?
I know, man.
So that same person I just mentioned there, like, had a problem. It was some type of computer like programming problem or something like that, and she had asked me to help. And I mean, I was, you know, employed somewhere else, you know, whatever. But one day, then, like, not too long after that, like, this huge box of all of their stuff just comes and just arrives at the door, right? You know, for help. I mean, it didn't take me long. I don't even remember it taking me 20 minutes to do whatever they were looking for that they couldn't figure out. And then this big box of, like, Just Born stuff just showed up at the house.
Well, at least your kids ate it.
Yeah, I wasn't eating it.
That's like, now my mom, she actually was a secretary at the in Hershey, and they had a desk drawer that in every office they had one of these, where, like, if they broke, you know, there was, I don't know why they just, well, I guess you can't really melt them down and remake them, but if, like, they're unmolding chocolate bars and they broke, they would, you know, of course, couldn't sell them, so they'd take the broken bars and they'd stick them in a desk drawer in all the different offices so they wouldn't go to waste and you can eat as much as you wanted. The only rule they ever had on that was you couldn't take it home.
So it's kind of funny, like, you see that, like, with companies or whatever, right? Like, I had a company contact me one time. They would not tell me who they were. All they could tell me was, the first question they asked me was, do you mind smoking at your desk, right? And they were in North Carolina. And it was a cigarette company. What's the big one that's down there, right?
RJR Reynolds.
Something like that, right? But they were like, we know you Java developers are, you know, kind of stick together. If you know of anybody who doesn't mind smoking at their desk, and just let us know, right? So, but this was like 2001. You know, so yeah, but it was like the way that they were saying it to me too is like, do you mind smoking at your desk or other people smoking at their desks?
Yeah, well, it's like I had friends that I used to work with down at Columbus, and one still worked at Columbus State at one point. It's funny because I never really ran into this in my entire life, but there were people that I was working with there that remembered when they were able to smoke at their desk. And there was a guy that smoked till he retired.
Yeah. When I was at Mack Trucks and their data center, like, they, there were pictures of the guys who were now, like, the directors and whatnot from, like, the mid-80s, and they're standing there in front of the machines. All of them got a cigarette hanging out of their mouth, right? You know, in these pictures, they used to, like, line the walls of this data center.
The only time I ever smoked was I was, you know, relatively close to out of college. I was just out of college or maybe I was in my last year. Whenever I go to the bar, I go buy a pack of smokes because that's the only time I'd ever smoke was in the bar. I don't do that anymore. I don't even drink anymore. But
yeah, for me, it was like transitioning from college to, or high school to college. I mean,
mm-hmm. And what's funny, the funniest thing was the one who would always complain when I was a little one, the one who always complained because dad smoked in the car, of course, you know, because that's just what they did back then.
Windows down, air blowing on you.
Yep. And my brother would always complain when my dad would light up. But who was the one that smoked beyond their 20s? My brother. In fact, he's a vapor now.
Damn, no. My dad used to smoke in the shower.
In the shower?
In the shower.
I get drinking a beer in the shower, but smoking in the shower?
Yeah.
Kind of defeats the purpose there, doesn't it?
Do you know what?
He probably did that too.
You got to ask why. You know, why? Can't you? Like, I remember we used to go. He did it at home, but also when we go to we go camping, and you have the campground showers. He would smoke all the way from going to the shower, in the shower, out of the shower, back from the shower.
So he'd have three smokes before breakfast.
Three smokes, dude. My dad like chain smoked like a madman sometimes.
I tell you what, I'm
glad it was funny.
Not something I got so stuck on like my dad did, but
one of the things that was so funny was in the later years, and when my dad would drink way too much, he would have a cigarette in his mouth, and then he would roll another one. And then go to light it and realize he already had one in his mouth. Like, that's oh my god!
Common thing for heavy drinkers.
Oh.
Yeah. Glad I never done that. I'm glad I never really got into that. I did have my times where you saw me, Dan, when I got drunk. But,
who hasn't gotten drunk?
I got so hammered Manfred. At that Linux. That Linux Fest that we had down where we were controlling the tickets of Barley's. Holy crap, I was so drunk.
I didn't think you drank then, Joel.
No, I did. I did. I had, I don't know how many Russian Imperial Stouts that one Linux Fest. No, it wasn't long after that that probably that was the event that triggered me not wanting to drink anymore.
I think that was the end of you drinking after that, because the next year you weren't drinking.
Nope, I was not. I was going to the same church at that time, too. And I have the name for the church, but we haven't announced it. I think our membership still has to vote on it yet, too, so...
I'm actually almost at a year right now where I've not had anything to drink.
There you go.
I found for some reason, I don't know, again, another thing, and I don't know if it's just because of how I, you know, choose to kind of live my lifestyle or whatever, but I could have one drink, go to sleep for an hour, and I'd be up all night long. No idea why, but this started happening.
That's weird.
It is weird, right? Because it's supposed to, you know, potentially be the complete opposite of doing that, right? But this happened frequently enough that I'm like, I don't need it. I'm done. I don't need to do this anymore. I'm not kidding you. Go to sleep. I would be up within an hour and not be able to go back to sleep. And I don't have a problem sleeping. It's only when I had a drink.
That's weird.
My dad used to tell me how he would be able to drink all night, and that was by pre-drinking. He'd start at about noon and get a couple of drinks in and then take a nap 2 or 3 hours, and then he would get back up and finish off a bottle of rum, like a liter.
Damn.
Now, I'd be lying if I say I didn't crave it every once in a while. You know, I have one of them crazy ass days at work, and I'm like, boy, I could use a beer. But then I that's as far as it ever goes. You know, I think for me, because I never really, once I got past I'd say about 25 when I was still drinking. I stopped drinking just to get drunk, and I started drinking more for the taste, you know? Like, if I'd want a beer, I wouldn't want, like, a cheap-ass Budweiser. I'd want to go and get, like, a microbrew or something like that, or a good scotch or something like that. But, so I think what kind of replaced that for me was coffee in some ways, you know? Now, granted, I'm not as picky as some people are about drinking their coffee. Yeah, you know, so I'll drink pretty much any kind, but I do enjoy it when I get a really good cup of coffee or something like that. Or if I go out, like I'm actually overdue for heading up to my coffee place and getting a pound from my AeroPress.
Yeah, I've been going through all different ways of making it lately with the presses, with actually weighing out the appropriate amount as well as water to put in. I do pour overs whenever I'm home for the most part anymore. Bilotti mochas. I have one of those that I've been messing with. Because I have an electric stove now, so I'm trying to figure this stove out to see the right ways to, you know, get these things to boil at the right time and temp and all that kind of stuff. So I've been really like gung ho with it lately. I think my wife thinks I'm a little crazy about it. So.
But, you know, it's one of those things, too, like especially when you're looking at the you know, stuff that's not in your grocery store, so far as the beans are considered. There is a huge difference in how one kind of coffee will taste versus another. And I can kind of taste those nuances.
Definitely.
And it also has a lot to do with preparation.
True.
I mean, you could have the most expensive, greatest coffee on the planet, and if you've got a coffee pot that just burns it on the way out, then mm-hmm. it's going to be garbage every time.
Yep. That's why I like the AeroPress is very lenient with that. You can put pretty crappy coffee in that and get a good cup of coffee.
Yeah, temp matters. I filter my water.
Yes.
You know, I have a good little gooseneck pot that I use whenever I'm using to fill these things with. It flows steady and it actually has a really good thermometer built right into it, so I can kind of gauge the temperature of the water pretty well when I'm boiling it.
Now I need to I have an espresso too, which that's okay. It actually it's not horrible. But I know it's not the best espresso shots that you can get. One of these days, I want to go back and get an honest to God espresso machine and get back into that. I had one, and then my dog chewed the cord off of it. Like, I couldn't figure out how to swap the cord out and that thing. It was just, you know, plus it wasn't the greatest one there was. My thought was, when that happened, was, oh, I'll just go get a nicer one. And I just never got around to it. But,
hey, you should have just, you know, trimmed the cord and done it from there. 50-50, you get it right the first time.
Yeah, it's true. But now I think at that point I was thinking I was ready for another one. That's kind of why I didn't waste time fixing it. I think it was right around that point, because when I was really into espresso and making my own stuff at home, I still have most of the stuff I need for it except for the machine. But I'm trying to remember price of coffee kind of went up quite a bit. And when I first started, like in the mid 90s, drinking espresso drinks and making them at home, price for a pound of espresso roast at my local micro roaster was about $10. Now that price is about $20. So it kind of doubled in the last decade. So, yeah, maybe, I don't know. I don't mind, like I said, the Nespresso still does a really good job. You know, it's pod-based, I know. But the one nice thing that they have done is, like, in fact, now it's even better because they have a boutique here in Columbus. So I can go up there and drop my used pods off and recycle them, because they're all recyclable. So, for a mass-produced coffee, it's not horrible. It's not, like I said, I acknowledge it's not the best you can get. But for what I do with it, mostly making cappuccinos at home, it's just fine. So, and I'll just do like, if I put like a flavoring in it, I'll put like a sugar-free syrup of some sort. So yeah, that's if I do that. Now, there's sometimes I just do straight up milk. But then I will make, every once in a while, I will make me a bulletproof coffee, which is delicious.
Oh yeah, I hear that.
Yep. Kerrygold, MCT oil, all the way. In fact, now it's really easy to find the oil.
Yeah, it's readily available everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I just got a free box of like 1 ounce packets of it with my latest F bomb purchase. So,
like, you can go to Walmart and buy a bottle of MCT oil. I think Sam's Club even has it too.
By the way, F bomb is awesome. They make all these nut butters, like macadamia nuts with like some have MCT oil, some have pecan in them, some have chocolate, or some have just sea salt. But then they also make like these pork sticks that are just awesome, and then these cheese crisps that are like freaking crack. F-bomb. Droppinfbomb.com.
Interesting.
They make a bone broth you can get to, and then now they just started coming out with some bars as well, like that are, I'm keto, so they're all in like the right ratios for all that stuff.
Yeah, and I can't do keto all the time. It just
I've been going on, I think, 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah, I've tried that for a while. No, I just can't.
It's not necessarily healthy to stay on like a full keto diet long term, especially considering the amount of meat and cheese you're eating that can have an effect on your cholesterol.
So that is a big myth, and dietary cholesterol does not affect the amount of cholesterol that is in your body. It affects it very little, actually. So there is a lot more research that's coming out on all that stuff right now that I would say go start checking out that. Check out Dave Feldman and the work that he's been doing.
If you can post, I will read it.
What's that?
If you can post, I will read it.
He has a site called The Cholesterol Code. He's a software engineer who started having all these problems and just now experiments and tries all this stuff out. And it's now in all of these. It's starting to make its way in total cholesterol is a complete myth. What you have to do is get like a full spectrum panel done up for cholesterol. Right. There are not just LDL and HDL. There are actually 4 levels of particles for both.
Correct.
That if your doctor is not getting those things checked for you, then they're, you know, try to find out if they are willing to accept the new research or find another doctor who is willing to look at this stuff, because that is not a true test of whether you're going to have a cardiovascular event or not. It's the small sticky particles of LDL that get stuck and build up around things that is what would potentially trigger an event. The large free floating ones, which are there to transport vitamin E and triglycerides around to repair the body when it needs to, is what is actually going to it just be free flowing throughout your blood and not build up anywhere, causing any type of a blockage. And that your brain is a third, you know, saturated fat and a third cholesterol, right? So we need all of that type of stuff to actually feed these things to keep them, you know, functioning.
Total. Yeah. I will say this. I have been doing a lot more protein in my diet. I also, a few years ago, it used to be the only milk I would drink was skim milk. I've gone to 2% now. Contemplated going full fat, but that's definitely true. I've watched a lot of stuff on that as well, and the keto stuff. Like, I will make some things and eat some things that are keto, but I won't go full keto. Most of which, like some of the things, like I'll get like the they have like these turkey meat sticks over at Sam's Club in a big pack, you know. I'll get those and I'll eat those, but my biggest problem with some of the meat sticks is that I'll eat them and they'll give me some wicked heartburn. So those are the ones I don't like. So I gotta be careful in those things.
I posted that there, Joe.
Thank you. I will read it.
Yeah, there's a lot of good info on there. There's he's got a YouTube channel. There's a lot more, you know, there's a lot of other people starting to really kind of publicize this stuff up there.
Right, right. One of the documentaries I like for this, and I don't know, I'm pretty sure you've probably seen it, Fathead.
Well, I was going to say, check out Fat, a documentary.
It
came out just, I want to say it was like October timeframe. You can watch it for free on Amazon Prime. And it's available on most streaming platforms now.
Yep. But that's Tom McNaughton. That's Fathead was one where he went and ate only fast food and lost weight. And basically to counteract Morgan Spurlock's Supersize Me. And he had the Eads on there. I know you're probably familiar with them, right?
What is it?
I'm trying to remember his full name, but it's a husband and wife couple with last name Eades.
Is it the Australian guy?
No, they're American.
Okay, now I'm not familiar with them.
Anyway, they were in the Fathead movie as well as was some there's another one that was in there. I can't remember her name. The Mike and Mary Dan Eads. They were in the Fathead movie, but they talked about that. And towards the end of that, he actually was experimenting eating like he was like taking like cheese and like just sticking it in a fry pan until it gets all crispy, you know?
Well, that's basically what like wisps are and those cheese crisps, any of that stuff, right? But if they're made with the right quality ingredients, it's good. If you're putting, you know, ingredients in them, you know, that's what triggers inflammation and whatnot, so.
Yeah, like I like the Parmesan crisps I get over at Sam's Club. Those are pretty decent.
We got to start wrapping this up.
Yes, we do.
Man, Fry's got to get up at 4 a.m., right?
Not tomorrow. My flight's at 4 p.m. tomorrow, so I'm good. I'm good there.
What time do you fly?
Downtown.
I got to fly to D.C., and then I got to turn around and fly right back on Friday back to Philly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm in Boston right now, so and that's going to be that way next week, too.
Oh, wait. You're flying into Philly for home, right?
Yeah.
Have a safe trip.
Hey, thanks.
Indeed. All right, this is play us out. Any last words? All right, then.
Nope.
We'll see you in 1 week. Safe trips and enjoy the weather. Here it is, your promo.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Open source, Linux, computers, electronics, science, and amateur radio. We cover it all. Who are we? We are Linux in the Ham Shack, the podcast that brings you and your technology together with the power of software freedom. Drop us in your favorite podcatcher or join us every other Tuesday night for the interactive live show. Visit LHSpodcast.info for all the details, news, and information. We are Linux in the Ham Shack, and we want to open your your mind.
Hi, folks. This is Chatter. Jay Wisher, Honky Magoo 5150, and I have started a new podcast. Yeah, I know we should have gotten Brian Lunduke to do the voiceover, but he wanted a script, and none of us are any good at scripting language. Anyway, it's Linux Lugcast. We're at linuxlugcast.com, IRC channel, pound Linux Lugcast on Freenode. We record on the first and third Fridays of the month, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 0200 UTC. We talk about things we've tried, things we got to work, things we failed to get working, things we built, and things we broke. Email us at feedback@linuxlugcast.com, and if we don't know the answer, we'll just tell you to install Arch. That's a joke, son. So join us as we stifle the outcry of voices everywhere for another Linux podcast.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Boop, boop, boop. Yeah, I gotta fix that. That is annoying.
I've been 3 days to the gym this week. I think I'm taking the night off. I try to go 4 to 5, so I can still make 5, but I probably won't need to because I'm guarantee you we'll probably hit the grocery store this week. That's pretty much every week you gotta go nowadays.
Bum, bum, bum. Kroger?
We've been doing Sam's and Meijer. Meijer is a family-run chain here in Ohio. They started in Michigan, though. And usually that's because Sam's Club doesn't have everything. I've been picking up these, they call pure protein bars that I'll grab for like a quick snack or something. Not all the time, you know, I'll skip a week or, you know, or a month. But they're actually pretty decent. They taste good anyway.
I'm going to stop the recording, Joel. Say goodnight.
Stop the recording there. Trying to log the protein bar I just put in my mouth hole. I think she was 75. She didn't have much of a social media presence. I'm pretty sure she didn't have a smartphone, and I'm pretty sure she didn't have a computer. I'm pretty sure she didn't have a lot of things that we all take for granted. And I'm pretty sure my cousins and I've calmed down, but I really am disappointed in him. Not even having her funeral, which really sucks. I'd have drove out. I'd have done it.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up, Pat?
Hey, Pat.
So is it so they're not having a funeral because money wise it's too expensive, or
I think I think he underestimates how many people would have actually came. Uh-huh. And some of it is because of kind of how she was. She, like, from my understanding, he would call her and say, "Hey, we're having a, you know, Christmas dinner. You're more than welcome to come up. Come on up." And she would never go.
Yeah.
So you know, know that where I've had, let's see, I've had since 1999, I probably had 3 different cars. She's only ever had 2 that I never knew of.
So what? 2 what?
Cars.
Oh.
So yeah, the one I remember the most with her is she had a VW Beetle that she drove until the damn thing rusted out. She replaced that with a Ford Escort probably late 80s, and those are the only 2 cars I've ever remembered her driving. including last time I saw her, which is about 20 years ago. But it just goes to show you, I think one of the things I'm going to try and do this summer is plan a trip to go see my other aunt that's still alive.
Is she older or younger than your mom?
She was younger. Oh, okay. She was the youngest of the three girls.
It sounded like your aunt, the one who passed, was kind of like she kept to herself.
Pretty much reclusive, yeah.
Yeah, by choice. Yeah. Largely by choice.
Probably pretty much by choice. Well, there was a stint like right before my mom passed, like maybe a year or so before my mom passed, where people were trying to get a hold of her. Nobody would get a hold of her. You'd call her. I still have her phone number. I would call it, ring, 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 and go to voicemail. Well, actually, I don't even think she had an answering machine. So, from my understanding, is she would, you know, if she had, I think she might have had caller ID, and she'd look at it, and if she either didn't recognize it, or if it was outside the area code, she wouldn't pick it up because she was afraid of her phone bill or something like that. I don't know. She was just a little crazy, you know. I understand why she was that way, but you know, my family always thought she was a little nutty, and that's true, she is, but they thought she was nuttier than I did.
Well, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, she worked for like a long time ago. I remember she worked for a defense contractor by the name of Vitro down in D.C. area. That's kind of where she lives, D.C., Silver Springs, Maryland area.
Okay.
And I think she got laid off at some point, because I know the company got bought by another company. Like, I think it got bought by BAE at some point. But ever since then, she really never had a job, as far as I remember. But I just remember staying at her, like when I was a kid, staying at her house with John, and we rode around with John in the Beetle that she had, and went to all the museums down there, Air and Space Museum and all that. And I thought that it just made me sad.
Hey guys.
What's up, Man Fry?
Hey, Man Fry. Hey, man.
What's happening?
I had fries for dinner, but they were air fried fries. Air fryer fries.
Not Man Fries?
No, they were air fried, and I actually...
How'd they taste?
They were good, actually. I bought some frozen ones. They were Rally's frozen ones, so they had this little spice on the outside. But I actually sat and count out, like, yeah, I got my little scale out and weighed out the amount I should eat, and I did good.
And you doubled it, right?
And the amount
I should have, this is what I want to have. This is what.
Yeah, the amount I should have is probably none, but I'm just, you know, I'm just counting what I eat. I'm not, you know, I like carbs. I'm not gonna lie, you know, and. And I remember there was a very unhappy year where I didn't eat any pizza at all, and that's one of my favorite foods. So it's like, you know, now I just don't eat it as often. So I still eat it. It's just I don't eat it as often, or I think about it. I think maybe I shouldn't order the large. Maybe I should just order the medium, or maybe I should just get the personal size. You know what I mean?
No, just tell yourself you'll skip the next meal.
Well, and actually, sometimes I've done that too. You know, where I skipped a meal or two, Sunday I didn't really eat all day until we went out. I'm trying to remember what we did Sunday. I can't remember.
The unfortunate thing is not eating isn't a good plan. And the best shape I was in when I was doing Body for Life, which is eating 6 days a week. I'm sorry, 6 meals a day, and I was exercising like 5-6 days a week.
So eating like Dale Gribble, right? 6 days
a week. I'm sorry, six meals a day. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there's the episode where he had, holy crap, what the hell is that?
I'm sorry, Starship Tux was saying in the IRC that you were silencing, and the only way I could hear if that was the case, because it's not, I don't hear it from you to me. So I checked out the stream to see if I could hear it on the stream, and I didn't hear it there either, as you can tell. So I think it's Starship Tux.
Anywho, I fired up Mind and Fitness Pal again, and I've been pretty. I'm not 100% accurate, put everything I eat into it, but I'm not far off. So in the last 2 or 3 days, I've been pretty much under what I established as what I should be eating as a goal. Like, I think at 2,200, I think. So I've been doing okay with that.
Who's got the whistly snot rocket? Oh, it must be
Dan, of course.
What are you talking about? I'm not even near my mic.
I got 3D printing stuff to talk about. Yay!
I hear it when Joel talks.
Hear what? Joel's whistling got the whistly snot rocket? Nah. No, actually, here, I know what it might be. Here, hold on. That's probably better. My printer was on in idle.
The printer has whistly snot rockets?
No, it has two. It has like three fans on it, man. It's got the two on the hot end and the one inside.
Joel, you got a hot end?
I did, actually. A new one. All metal, baby.
Let me fire. Get this ready to go, so we could hear all about 3D printing for your CPAP machine, right?
And Joel's hot end.
And Joel's hot end. Yes.
Rich, you're trying. I know you're trying to joke, but that's actually what I'm going to talk about. I got a Micro Swiss all metal hot end. So we'll talk about that and how easy it was to install.
Hey, Dan, I'm flying down your way tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
Are you flying into Norfolk?
No, I'm flying to D.C.
Oh,
that's not my way.
You still got another.
I'm a bit of ways from you.
You still got another 3.5 hours to go. If you don't hit any traffic.
I thought you were closer to the city for some reason.
Dan, did you grab your 1022 rifle and go down to Richmond on Monday?
Did I or could I?
No, did you?
I didn't go anywhere on Monday.
Neither did I.
No, man, Fry, you got to go all the way out to the coast and then to the bottom of Virginia.
On the east coast,
that's where I am. I'm out in the water.
Just jump out early, Dan.
Jump out.
He's not even flying that far south. He's probably flying right into, Reagan?
Is that DCA?
Dulles?
Yeah, DCA.
Dulles is
I-80.
I'll be doing that the next 2 weeks here. I'm actually in Boston. I'll be flying from Philly to Boston, Boston to DC, and then DC back home.
Are you in DC proper, or are you...
Yeah, I'm like two blocks off. I'll be two blocks off the White House down there.
Okay. I'm sorry. The best thing... You know what you might want to look at? Now, I don't know how your company deals with things, but what I would do is I would try and find something out of DC that's on the train line and do that.
Yeah, I stay at the JW Marriott, which is another two blocks in the other direction, but it works for me.
Yeah. As long as you stay within, like, probably on that street where that hotel is, you'll probably be just fine.
Yeah, I did it all last summer, so I was good. Yep, good with that. Or not last summer, the summer before, I guess it was.
Well, technically, you work for VMware now, right?
Yes.
Last time I was in D.C. overnight, in DC itself was for a solar
solar convention.
Solar Revolution.
Oh, Solar.
Yeah, Solar, S-O-L-R. And we went out. There were some nice restaurants there. We had a good there time. Are. And we were out drinking one night. And then we ended up at some pizza place where, like, there was a New York style, they called it, pizza. But it was, like, a slice was, like, the size of a large pizza. It was one of those big.
I know that place.
It starts with an L, right?
I don't remember what it started with. But it was like this huge, like you had to put it on three plates if you wanted.
Lorenzo's Pizza.
Maybe that's what it was. It wasn't bad. It was good, especially at night, man, when you're drunk.
They're like a, I think it's a Philly company because I know now that they've taken over like the Wells Fargo Center and stuff like that. Like you
what's
can go.
What's it called?
Lorenzo's Pizza. They're massive, like massive pizzas.
See, the one place I remember eating at, mostly because there was one in Reston, which is like real close to where my company's headquarters is, was over by Georgetown, Clyde's. Might want to check that out sometime.
Yeah, you know what? Man Fry, it almost looks exactly like Lorenzo's if you had two separate entrances on opposite. So yeah, but that it was like that kind of size of pizza.
Yeah, they come out on like it's like two or three paper plates.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Clyde's, check it out if you get down like down over by. Well, there's multiple ones, but Georgetown's probably the one closest to you, I think.
Clyde's what?
It's a neighborhood restaurant.
What kind of restaurant is it?
It's a kind of like a brew pubby kind of deal. I don't know. I don't know if I would call it a brew pub necessarily, but it's kind of pub style food. You know, like hamburgers, stuff like that.
Yeah, probably not a whole lot of stuff that I eat, Joel.
I don't know. There's some, they have some pretty decent stuff. I mean, that's not your only options.
Yeah, but pub places like that are typically like a majority of it's all fried, you know, battered and fried, and I don't eat like that anymore.
So. All right, yeah,
they got steaks too. So
well, ready to fire this off. No fry food.
There's a show?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.